Uh-oh.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits.
It is Dara Quilty here. Thanks for having us on. The mustache is calling. Will you answer?
Movember, proudly supporting men across Ireland, brings people together from all walks of life, igniting vital conversations, raising much-needed funds, and breaking the silence on men's health issues that often go unspoken. Join us to tackle mental health, suicide, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, raise funds, save lives. Sign up now at movember.com. Some of the ways you can get involved with the Mo, you can grow, whether it's a mighty mustache or a patchy little effort. You can move, run or walk 60K for the 60 men we lose to suicide every hour worldwide. You can host, throw a Mo-ment, whether it's a coffee morning, five-side match to raise funds. Or you can mow your own way if you want to do something different. Mow your own way. Take on any challenge that gets people talking. Climb a mountain, shave your head, do something completely wild. Whether you're flying solo, getting the lads at work involved, or rallying a team of mates, have a bit of crack while doing good. Together, we'll raise awareness and much needed funds for men's health in Ireland. Lots of details, and it's easy to sign up on movember.ie. That is movember.ie, and they have an app available as well.
And Niall Breslin is live in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you, Bres. How are you, man?
Good to see you.
Good to see you in person and not online. Because you are all over the country doing live shows, and you recently completed this absolutely insane physical challenge. Mm-hmm. Lust for Life. What was that?
It was something I did last year that I promised myself I'd never do again. So obviously I did it this year as well. But we were trying to raise money for schools programs. We're in about 45% of Irish primary schools now. So we're creating mental health programs, early intervention, free evidence-based programs. But you gotta fundraise for that stuff. So we decided to kayak the length of the River Shannon, and then we cycled from Limerick to Carntool, and then we climbed Carntool. And that was our challenge. At the moment, we've raised up to 200 grand.
Wow.
Which will now put those programs, I think, into every school in Ireland by the end of 2026. That's the aim. And now we're moving to secondary schools. My mission is early intervention, and I'd love to see an educational program from first class to leaving cert that's coherent the whole way through. So when you go to secondary school and you're not, you turn a little bit cynical as you do when you hit puberty.
Yeah.
You're kind of going, I know this program. I've done this program. This is just a follow-on to what we've done. That's how you solve problems, I think, is early intervention.
Intervention is a spooky word.
It is a spooky word. It's a loaded word as well. Well, actually, I would say early prevention, and then intervention is if somebody actually does need help or needs support. Maybe they find their environment overwhelming, or like me, I found it really difficult to sit still in school. I was called stupid nearly every day of my schooling. I wasn't. I just found my environment a little bit too much, and I didn't like sitting down. I didn't like learning that way. And I also question everything. That doesn't go down well in secondary school. It's great for college, but it's so weird. You go from college and then you go into third level and said you have to critically think about everything. And you're like, hold on a sec. We were told we weren't allowed to do that. So I think there's a little bit of coherence missing from how we learn. And I think we shouldn't be scared to actually explore it a little bit.
My understanding of this is like when you're a young fella, the toolbox is empty. So you're putting all these tools in that you can pull from as you get older and older. Is that kind of what you mean by...
Absolutely. But the big thing about, you know this more than anyone, Dara, like life isn't a straight line. You could be having grand old time and then bang, you're hit. And you don't know which way is up. And it happens to everybody. Nobody gets out of this world unscathed. Mm. And telling young children that it's a perfectly straight line and bubble wrapping them and saying everything's always great isn't helping them. And psychologists always say that. You have to let children be challenged. They call it psychological flexibility. Resilience is the word you hear a lot, but really, we got to teach young people to move with the difficulties and the amazingness that happens in life. And that's life. It is literally not linear. And I found out that, you found that out, and everyone listening to this has found that out. And I think trying to tell children when that time does happen, number one, here's a useful way to deal with it. But first, you got to talk about this stuff. You got to express this stuff and give young children the language to describe what these big thoughts that they have and these big emotions. You give them that, you're giving them a huge gift for life.
Well, I think so, because you said you and I, we learned that, but we had to figure it out as men, right? You know, mm-hmm. I had no tools in my toolbox about what's going on in my chest?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a heart attack? I didn't understand fully. And this is what's interesting about Movember, or what they're doing and spreading out into men's health. It's just grown into a bigger thing for men. You know, around the world, what you're talking about maybe didn't exist when we were small. Now, I'm not asking you to grow a mustache.
Well, I can't grow a mustache. I've tried, right? I did Movember a couple of years ago, and I got a few slaps growing up playing rugby, and it's always my lip, my chin. So when I grow it, I look kind of like a badger.
Oh, you've got scars.
Yes. Scars everywhere on my face. And I even at one stage was like, is there a way I kind of. I'm gonna tell you the truth, right? The first year in Movember happened, there was an event on, I think, in the Button Factory, and I had to get a Sharpie to
fill in the gaps.
The little gaps, because it was so bad. I looked like that. You know that, remember the 14-year-old who used to be able to get served because he had a little wispy moustache? I had kind of that with little holes and a Sharpie on it. I was coming home that night, and I was in like a takeaway, and some guy walked up to me and goes, do you have Sharpie on your face? No, it's not. It's a perfectly coherent moustache that I'm well able to grow.
I have some things that I want to talk about, and I also, if you want to text or WhatsApp in 087-4100-102, because I want to talk to you about your tour and the live show. I brought up a few minutes ago the Rising, which is mm-hmm. the challenge you did.
It was, last year was just the kayak, this year was the kayak, the cycle and the climb.
Oh, the cycle.
Yeah, yeah. No, you don't want to be swimming when you're kayaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Not good.
The physical preparation for that in terms of actual fitness, because you have been a professional athlete at one stage in your life. Do you retain that physical fitness all the time, or does a fella like you need to constantly work on it?
Well, because of my size, like if I just stop training, I have a tendency to put on a lot of weight, and I'm 6'6". I've swayed from 16 stone to 20 stone,
wow.
You know, just because of my size. So I do have to exercise. I like exercising. I don't love it, I'll be honest with you, but I do like it. What I love about it is the discipline. And you have a discipline and you have a purpose. But all my life, and this is probably related to Movember as well, I always believed that the only way I could actually be happy is through achievements and pushing myself. And if you're doing that purely for that reason, it's probably not advisable. If there's stuff that you need to deal with and talk about, you need to deal with that as well. You can't outrun that stuff. You can't out kayak it. So for years I used to do that. So I'm not preaching at people. And now I'm much more comfortable. For example, when you're training with something like that, if you couldn't train for a week, I'd be like, cool, no problem. I would fall apart in the past. And I think if you over-rely on it, things can happen. You can get injured. I broke my foot, the base of my foot. I used to love running. I loved running. I was terrible at it. Like, look at the size of me. I was like a gazelle after taking, like, a Valium. I could barely... It was just the worst. I had the worst style of run. And I broke my foot, but I couldn't run anymore. And I left a big hole in what was very good for my head. And you struggle with that for a bit, and then you find your feet again. One thing that has always been very good for my head is creativity. I love going into a room when something doesn't exist and creating something.
Right.
And there's a lovely feeling about that. And that's something that, you know, it's not always there, but, you know, if you break your foot, you can still sit behind a piano, which is something I love doing.
When you finished The Rising, huge build up to that.
Yeah.
A lot of physical training, mental training, and then you did it.
We did it.
And it was over. What about the days after that?
This is the crash. And the crash, this is the thing as well. This is what we were talking about, telling kids this stuff. You expect the crash. It comes. You've put so much energy into something, so much time and commitment into something, and then it stops, and then there's a lull. And any kind of elite athlete will tell you that as well, like after a big event, or any artist who maybe does a tour, there is a crash after it. And rather than kind of seeing it as something's gone wrong, if you're aware that this is a normal human reaction to stopping, then you sit with that.
Yeah,
and you're all right with it. In the past, now I wouldn't have been all right with it. I would have. It could have led to something worse, or I would fall into a deep kind of anxiety. But now I just go, that is completely normal. But the worst thing you can do is just keep going all the time, because you're terrified of that fall. Let yourself rest from time to time.
You said something to me. This is kind of personal, I suppose. Brezzy and I are pals. We've known each other for a long, long time. You said something to me in your kitchen in your house. Oh, I'm going to say it was in
the last couple months only. When my mother, Roisin, passed away just 3 years ago, my entire life was completely turned upside down. Very young, was a very difficult time, and you were with me through that. You knew Roisin?
I do.
And recently we were chatting because both of us like to yabber on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and we go on hikes and we yabber on and on and on and on. So I feel I know everything about you and likewise, right? But we were in the kitchen and I was reflecting on sort of early 2022 and where I was at physically. Like, I, you know, I was I wasn't eating, I had no energy, couldn't run properly. Mentally, I was never going to play music again, I was never going to be on the radio again. I said to you, I said, geez, I was a broken man. And you turned around to me immediately, said, what do you mean you were a broken man? I said, I was a broken man. And you said, you were not a broken man. In fact, you were responding exactly how you should have responded to incredible stress, incredible loss, and grief.
Mm-hmm.
You said you would have been broken if that didn't affect you and you chugged on as if everything was normal. And I never looked at it that way. Like being completely lost, that lingered for, I mean, there was a lot of other things happening as well in my life at that time. I lost a lot of stuff all at one time. And you said, you responded like a human. And that's not broken.
And I think people need to hear this, because something like grief is the most torturous pain in the world. It's nobody knows how to do it. You see these books on how to do it. You see these, you know, psychological steps through grief. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to respond to it. And a lot of people kind of internalize it, and you didn't. You did express it, and you talked about it, and you moved through it, and it's still very painful, but you moved through it. And now you live life alongside grief rather than grieving. And that's the difference. And I think the one thing you learn about male connection and relationships is you need to be very comfortable with other people's pain. You can't force them to internalize that pain. And just have those conversations. And some men will go, oh, it's very heavy. What's heavy about that? You know what I mean? That's the thing. We should change our language around this stuff that everyone experiences. And with you, I remember like that it was, you know, and we were worried about you. Of course we were. I wasn't worried about you as much as other people, because you were talking about it and you were expressing it and you were working your way through it step by step. And then you were, you know, we just gave you the space to do that. But at no stage throughout that was I uncomfortable with you saying anything about it. And that's the difference.
Did I feel uncomfortable.
But that's where we got to get there.
Talking about it, to be honest, because I can't say that the word on the radio, but let's be polite and say it sucked.
Oh, it wasn't even, you know, we felt so, like, so sorry for you at times. But it was the thing. It was just like, how could you be any other way? That's the point. That's the point I say to people. If you're going through all this stuff, carrying it, and people go, it's a bit intense, a bit, stop talking like that. It's like everybody listening to the radio right now has experienced great pain. Every one of us.
That's what I feel. I wasn't the only person to feel that. There's somebody that's going through that right now. There's someone that's going to lose a parent tomorrow. Someone that lost a parent yesterday. This is a part of the human condition. Why sweep it underneath the rug?
And also, to finish, you learn a lot about yourself in those moments. You learn a lot about who you are, what you want to be, and your personality. You know, I always say sometimes we do see more in the dark, and that's the truth. And I think what I try to say to people is don't fear it as much as you think. Don't avoid it. It's stuff that I've experienced it. I've gone through difficulty, and you know, you have having the right people around you and the right relationships, and especially other friends and men that you can connect to, because we know men are a little less open about having these conversations.
Well, there is a WhatsApp that came in on 087-4100-102, but no name on it. Hi Brezzy and Dara, great to hear you talking together about this. Great to hear you have each other. Heard Matt Cooper on The Last Word talking about male loneliness, and I really related. I'm 39 and I live alone. I think that might have been on The Last Word a while ago, and I've kind of seen this online, this sort of like, I'm not going to say it's a pandemic of male loneliness, because, you know, we're human beings, but could they possibly struggle more with loneliness, do you think? Or
I've thought about this a lot, and I think what's happened generally, first thing, I think COVID has actually just had this gargantuan impact on our relationships more than anything. But one thing I've noticed a lot, I'm not just saying men, but across the board, is our relationships have become very transactional. Like a LinkedIn post, you know, stakeholders, brand. This type of language, like we're business transactions rather than human beings. I wonder where that comes from. It comes from a lot of the tech bro, podcast bro stuff you see online, you know, with the emotive music and the inspirational quote by a guy telling you how to live your life without really knowing anything about what you go through.
Yeah.
You imagine you were bombarded with that when you were going through the grief of your mother. It meant nothing. And I think sometimes when we treat each other like business transactions and marketplaces, it can dehumanize people, and it can make people quite lonely, because they know when they're having conversations with people, there is a what's in this for me type of thing. And that's not how communities work. And communities are crucial. We know that around mental health and emotional well-being. It's actually a core focus of my PhD research, is how communities support collective and individual mental health.
I think community sometimes can be misunderstood, possibly, as the community are the people that live five doors to your left and five doors to your right, and that's completely incorrect.
No, I mean, the GAA is a good example of a good community.
There you
and
go.
How that works. And I was speaking to a guy the other day who was saying that he just joined GAA for the first time and he couldn't believe it. Now he's driving downtown and there's these lads just waving at him and giving him a high five. He's like, I've never experienced that. And I think those communities are really important. I think Irish people are good at community. I think sometimes we've let it go a little bit. And rather than kind of talk about this, I hate words like this pandemic of loneliness or the masculinity crisis, let's talk about what we can do to actually balance that and look at it. And I think one of the big things to do is to create that, what I call emotional scaffolding, through peer support, through community, and reach out. And if you think there's somebody lonely in your community, the power of just giving this simple, listen, if you want to join us for such and such a thing, it is profound. And, you know, we know that in a lot of the research around community and mental health, it's important, especially we're talking about Movember. We got to talk about what we can do, and rather than kind of theorizing what the problems are all the time. And there are issues, but to me, community is a fundamental part of that. And the other thing I'll say, Ireland is a population of 5 million. We're tiny. We're the size of like Greater Manchester, or a bit bigger than that. We're relatively politically stable, regardless of your politics. We're not the UK. We're not America. We have people who believe in fairness, I believe. And I think we can be world leaders. I think we can set the bar and the case study for how we can actually develop good mental health systems and communities. And why not us? People listen to us around the world. And I think that's something that I'm very passionate about. And that starts in education. If we try to solve these issues with the health system alone, we'll be putting plasters and bullet wounds. This is social. This is cultural. This is educational. This is health. It's all of that stuff. And we can come together. And I think media have a huge part to play in that too. And the media can, and have been, especially in Ireland, I think, holding this with the duty of care it should have.
Good.
You know, and it's important we do that.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in today. With the Where's My Mind Live tour is touring the country. Most shows are sold out. You're out tomorrow night.
I'm in beautiful Iontas Theatre in Castleblaney. That's my second last show of the year.
And that, any tickets?
Only a few left for that. The show in Island Theatre in Ballinamore sold out on the Saturday. But yeah, there's a few tickets left for Castleblaney, which is my first time there.
Where do you get the tickets?
On the Iontas website. I can go on my socials. You'll get the tickets. I'll put up a link later.
Yeah, do go and see the live show of Where's My Mind is absolutely fascinating. I got to work on the very first one with yourself and Adam Clayton in the Olympia Theatre, and I was like, I don't know what this is. And then when we started working on it, I was like, I've never seen anything like this before in my life, young man.
I didn't know what it was either, yeah. So it's all good.
Yeah, so your Instagram handle is it Brezzy?
Just Brezzy, yeah.
Just Brezzy. Brezzy. Listen, thanks for coming in and sharing that, man. It's great to have you on board.
Nice one, man.
And go and check out Brezzy's Where's My Mind tour live if you can tomorrow night.
A little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!